Both St. Matthew and St. Luke in their Gospels present us with a summary. That of St. Matthew is considerably longer in doings. Say that of St. Luke is a relatively short abbreviation of what our Lord said in the more lengthy matter at the beginning of his public ministry. Undoubtedly, he repeated that many times. And across the ages, now 2,000 years now, how it has been repeated over and over again, for the essential points are not always easy for us to understand, and to understand, and many objections are made to the Sermon on the Mount, and sometimes the same objection from two contrary points of view. What do you mean? I mean that anybody who has a little bit of money in the house won't get to heaven? Blessed are the poor, and woe to you who are loaded. Put it in modern language, what our Lord seems to mean. There's one thing that's very important that St. Matthew includes that in his presentation of our summary of what our Lord said. Our Lord did not come to abolish the law. Our Lord said this himself, I come to perfect its observance. That is what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. And this is why we should not say that the father of a family who has a considerable amount of money because he has a considerable number of children to feed and educate is not going to go to hell. What our Lord means is that those, as it were, who seek money as an end in itself, whether they're seeking a couple of billion or just a couple of dollars, I spoke years ago about the frustrated billionaire. Yeah, he invested unsteadily in the stock market, and then along came 1929, everybody crashed along with the market, a market that had nothing. Our Lord is pointing out that these are the things that happen when we are materialists, when we seek the things of this world as ends in themselves. Is it wrong for a just judge to punish those who are harming the innocent? No, he's not going to go to hell for that. But it is another matter if we seek only vengeance in enforcing the law. That is not right. These are simple considerations that enable us to see that our Lord is not talking immediately about what is good and what is evil, but how to keep the commandments of the Lord so that they will, as it were, help to merit heaven for us. It's not enough simply to, they say, give an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's not at all enough, as it were, simply to demand back whatever you loaned. Our Lord is pointing out ways in which we can, as it were, transcend the limits of natural justice. By which we can, as we're come to, as it were, if you wish, we should put it in those terms, merit heaven, because we have in everything striven to observe the law of the Lord, with that generosity with which he treats everyone and giving everyone an adequate opportunity to gain heaven. He does not thereby approve what is evil, the things that go on in the mortuaries that are being revealed at the present time, that we are to turn our way face and look the other way. What he is telling us is that we should be unselfish, which is quite another subject, but that if we are being uncharitable and unloving because we insist on the observance of the laws of God is not true at all. Blessed are the poor in spirit. St. Luke says, blessed are the poor, and woe to the rich. But he is using these terms in different ways than they ordinarily use them. Our Lord is not a materialist. Blessed are the poor, precisely because they have left aside all things to seek only one thing, to please our Lord, to be able to rejoice with him in heaven. And to those who say, woe to you are rich, does that mean that the rich here is identified with a simple material definition of riches? No, our Lord is defining it here, and the people of his time knew what he was talking about with that what is called today greed. To seek money, to seek the goods of this life is an end absolutely in themselves. Our Lord does not mean that we should be miserable in this life, that he does mean that we should be detached from the things of this life. They are given to us as means to an end, and to be able to fulfill his commandments, to be able to do the things that he has called us to do by way of work and vocation, so that we might gain heaven. And so, dear brothers and sisters, let us reflect often on the most wonderful example of doing what our Lord wished us to do, and that is Our Lady. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are sorrowful now. Blessed are those who are meek and humble of heart, and so forth. Who is our Lord describing? Does he have a model in mind, or is it only an ethical theory? He has a model in mind, and the model is his dear mother, and he gave to us as our mother. The more we identify with the virtue of Our Lady, the more we will be perfect in our observance of the commandments of the Lord. What does it mean to be perfect in the observance of his commandment? To be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. It means, as it were, to be humble and lowly as is Our Lady, and seek to make of one's life one great praise to our Lord, one great effort to do what our Lord has asked us to do it well, and to help others to want to know him and serve him faithfully in that manner. Let us give thanks to our Lord, when we receive him today in Holy Communion, that he gave us his mother as our mother, to help us, to support us, to guide us, to touch us on the shoulder when we're not quite going in the right direction, right direction. And how very effective he is that. We do not know how much Our Lady continues to intervene unknown in our lives, so that we might, as it were, often come to our senses and walk faithfully in the footsteps of Jesus, and be ever ready for that moment that he calls us to heaven, and that we anticipate in a sense every time we receive him worthily and joyously in Holy Communion. Praise be Jesus and Mary.